The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We're going to look at the matter of road safety because obviously the Gardaí have been trying to clamp down on matters of speeding and driving while intoxicated because it is the bank holiday weekend, which statistically is a difficult and dangerous time on the roads. I do need to be clear as we get into the item. We are not in any way referring to any specific collision or accidents or death in what we are discussing, rather the broader issue of the increase in road deaths and what can be done to try to bring them back down. I'm joined by Sarah O'Connor, who is Partnerships and External Affairs Director with the Road Safety Authority, and Jack Chambers, Minister of State at the Department of Transport. Minister, let me start with you. Your take on the drivers of our problem, and forgive the phrase, what are the main causative factors for the increase in road deaths?
Well, like you said, I just want to be clear in everything I say that it doesn't relate to any specific accident. And I know for many communities, they've had terrible tragedy this year and a cycle of really horrific accidents across our road network. And we're seeing a really worrying increase in the trend. Last year, a 20% increase in road fatalities. We're tracking at over 30% on the back of the worst increase since 1987 last year. I think when you look and you take a step back, we're seeing four key factors, which are the persistent factors over many years. Speed is still a central factor. So when you look at the fatalities last year, we know from when there was a very significant examination of 3 months of fatalities last year, speed was a factor in 25% of the fatalities, dangerous driving a factor in 27% of fatalities. So we know that's a central factor. Distracted driving, we know, is still a very significant contributing factor. People using their mobile phones, checking a text message, checking their social media. And the anatomy of a split second is they're looking away from the road, distracted from the main focus, which has to be on the road in front of them. That could result in them killing a pedestrian, colliding into around a corner. Alcohol and drug driving is still an enormous factor. We know from the Gardaí that drug driving is on the up and is a serious contributing factor. And also a really worrying trend, which is continuing to persist in the coronial data over previous years, is people not wearing a seatbelt. We know from the figures last year of 101 drivers and passengers killed. We don't have the information for 50% of them, but of the other 50, 40% or 40 are wearing a seatbelt and 10 were not. So that's 20% not wearing a seatbelt for road fatalities last year, which is a really high number and demonstrates that basic road safety and people taking precautions, wearing a seatbelt, will save lives. And
we still have many people not. You mentioned the coronial data. One coroner in South Cork was asked the question as to what's behind the rise in road deaths, and his take was 1, speed, and I assume that means significant speed; 2, alcohol; 3, cocaine. And he went on to say, if we could eliminate those, we'd be down to 50 or 60 road deaths per year. That seems like a relatively simple answer that links to enforcement, Sarah.
I think it is.
Would you sit in on that microphone, Sarah, if you would, please? Thank you.
I think it is a simple answer. And I suppose sometimes this debate can get a little bit mired in simplistic analysis. You know, the government's road safety strategy has 180 plus actions. And it's about all of those working together in conjunction. But in reality, I suppose what the minister has outlined there in terms of 5 dangerous behaviours or 5 killer behaviours, depending on how you look at it, playing a really key role. And I suppose, you know, in answer to your question, what are we seeing? When the RSA is looking at its analysis across the board, looking at those behaviours and how they have changed year on year, I can't portray the exact graph, but to give you a sense of the fact that we've seen a hump, basically. So during COVID, the kind of level of really amazing buy-in and compliance we've seen from the public around speed, you know, under the speed limit and
but COVID doesn't really count.
No, COVID doesn't count. But actually what we saw is that all of the behaviours went haywire during COVID. So people moved away from the normal compliance that they would normally have seen. And that was across the board in terms of seatbelt wearing, running red lights, speed, alcohol and impaired driving as a result of drugs. across the board, all of those went haywire. And it wasn't as obvious during COVID because for 2020, 2021, there were much lower volumes on the road. And what happened then is that people began to correct. They realised, I can't drive that way anymore. That's dangerous and that's crazy. But they did not correct back to the levels that they had before. So if you think about the hump and then about it coming back, but it has never come back to the levels of engagement across those really five important behaviours that we had before.
So what gets us back?
I think it is the enforcement and education model that we have working together in conjunction. And both parts of it have to be functional and both parts of it have to be really good.
When you talk about the enforcement aspect, when you look at the drunk and drug driving numbers, Minister, that would suggest that people believe they won't get caught if they get behind the wheel drunk. Is that an issue for the Gardaí to cure?
It is a serious issue. And the numbers in the roads policing units presently are a problem in the context of the implementation of our road safety strategy. The numbers have fallen in the roads policing units, and that means perception on enforcement isn't what it should be, and people are taking a chance. It's resulting in a culture of recklessness and people and lawlessness and people simply ignoring the law, taking a chance, taking a risk. I want to commend the Gardaí for the campaigns that they run and many members of the roads policing units who do a tremendous job in enforcing the law. But it is about numbers. It's about visibility and it's about...
What's the point of commending them if effectively what you're saying is that there isn't enough enforcement to change behaviour?
Well, it's important I commend those who are working, the 640 who work in the roads.
Albeit ineffectually.
But we need more. And that's something I've been emphasising to the Commissioner and to the Assistant Commissioner, that they need to be supported with greater numbers so that they can strengthen the level of enforcement, strengthen the visibility and really provide that deterrent.
And what answer have you gotten from the Commissioner?
Well, we had an engagement with the at the Road Safety, Ministerial Road Safety Board, which I chair, last week, that there will be a number of competitions for roads policing units this year and actually in the coming months, which should see the numbers improve. I've written to the Commissioner on a number of occasions regarding this issue, because I think if we're serious about breaking...
But I mean, when you say the numbers improve, specifics, what kind of level of increased enforcement are we likely to see on drink driving?
Well, if we see increased numbers in the roads policing units, that means more checkpoints, it means more intercept for speeding, and it means...
But sorry, has the Commissioner said to you, okay, last year we did X, this year we'll do X plus this amount?
So they've said they're going to run a number of competitions for roads policing units, and that should see the numbers in those units improve.
As in they're going to try to hire guards into the roads policing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How many more checkpoints will they get compared to last year?
Well, that's dependent on the numbers that go come through the competition, and that's something we're probing and something I'm constantly engaging with the...
And are you happy with answers that vague?
We need greater specifics and greater follow through, and I've been clear about that publicly and in my meetings with the with An Garda Síochána that we need strengthened levels of enforcement if the road safety...
But hang on, when you say to the Garda Síochána, I need more specificity, what that means is I need actual numbers. What do they say? Because what should come next is a number.
So they're recruiting through a new competition for roads policing units, and that's going to happen. And that we obviously had a gap in the recruitment process more generally through COVID, and people are aware of that, where there was a pause on recruitment into Templemore. And as we see those new recruits coming through last year and this year through Templemore, that allows An Garda Síochána then to recruit for specialist units like the roads policing units. And I take, in good faith, their intention to have a number of roads policing unit competitions, which will allow...
You take in good faith their intent to have a competition. It's hardly specificity around actual output and delivery, is it?
Well, that's why we have an oversight mechanism through the Road Safety Board, something I probe every time that when we engage with An Garda Síochána, and we need to see strengthened levels of recruitment and deployment in the roads policing units, and that's something I'm continuing to pursue.
But do you sit down... I mean, I don't mean to hammer the point, but surely the thing is to say, well, we know we have a problem with drunk driving. The way we get to drunk driving is we have checkpoints and we have arrests. You did this many last year. How many will you do that this year? Have you asked that question, and what answer did you get?
So we've asked about recruitment, and they have...
So that's a no. You didn't ask that question.
We've asked about... So what's presented to us at the Road Safety Transformation Board is they provide an analysis of checkpoints and of speed intercepts and of a whole range of different key performance indicators. And what we've been pursuing is trying to ensure that we have increased deployment in roads policing units. And that's something I'm engaging regularly with an Garda Síochána on.
Increased deployment in roads policing units. That is not the same as you did 400 checkpoints last year. This year, I want you to do 6. Have you asked them something that simple?
We're constantly trying to pursue an Garda Síochána on key performance indicators. And one of the issues is...
But you make it sound like they're being coy.
Well, again, they report specifically to Minister for Justice and the Ministerial Transformation Board.
Minister McEntee is being coy. Like, these are not difficult questions to get answers to, are they?
Well, there has been difficulty in getting the level of enforcement that will ensure to break the current trend, and that's a core issue is recruitment and numbers in roads policing units. And
so the guards are telling you they can't get enough numbers to cure our road safety problem.
They're saying that their intention is to strengthen that this year with competitions, and that should see strengthened levels of enforcement across the key metrics, whether that's checkpoints, speed intercept. In terms of key performance indicators, we've had 7,500 speed go safe vans hours per month last year. That's improved to 9,000 hours. That's strengthened levels of speed.
But a go safe van does nothing about drink driving.
It plays a role in speed in oversight of
which isn't drink driving.
And that's why we need more numbers in our speeds or in our roads policing units.
Can I ask the other issue then, Sarah? And this is a challenging one, I suspect, for the RSA because it goes to education. What do you do with the vulnerable road users, which I think in the RSA's terms means cyclists, pedestrians, etc.? According to your data, 3/4 of pedestrians who are killed are the ones responsible for their own deaths. It is through either a mistake that they have made or a poor choice, or they have stepped into traffic or anything along those lines. And about 90% of them aren't wearing high-vis in the instances where they are killed at night. How do you fix that?
Well, I think across the board, when we look at what happens on our roads, human error plays a role for all road users who are involved. And my understanding is, in the main, it's very rarely one simple factor is at play. It's very often a number of factors. I bear in mind, I met somebody at the National Rehab Hospital last year, and when he was talking about his collision, which resulted in a very serious life-changing injury, he said, maybe I wasn't as experienced as I needed to be. He said, I think I was going quite fast that day and I think it was raining. And all those, he couldn't pinpoint any one piece. Those were the three factors.
If you look at pedestrian deaths, 1 in 10 pedestrian deaths, the pedestrian is killed because they are lying in the road. Like, that's a fairly significant, clear, simple thing. Another 1 in 10 is killed because...
We don't talk about collisions that way anymore. The report you're talking about is historic. We've moved on. We don't believe it's beneficial to speak to report that way in terms of how people act on the roads. So what we do is we try and bring people up from a baseline to make sure that every road user feels responsible for what they're doing. So that every road user is...
You may have changed your philosophy around what you put in your documents. It doesn't change the data. If you know that you have roads users, pedestrians as case in point, where, according to you, 3/4 of them are responsible for lying in the street or stepping out in front of traffic or standing in the street in dark clothing when they get hit, you still have a problem. However, whatever semantics you put around it, how do you cure the problem?
Well, one of the things that we do, for example, if we're talking about high visibility, is that we provide high visibility vests for free to the public. We have done that persistently over the course of a number of years. People begin to get it in their earliest infancy. They're delivered, for example.
But they don't wear them.
I think a lot of people wear them.
No, but your data says that of the pedestrians who are killed, 90% of them at night aren't wearing high-vis vests.
And I think that comes back to a key point that the minister was trying to make in terms of seatbelts. A lot of people engage in best practice behaviour. And when we see very, very serious outcomes, it's often because people are not engaging in best practice behaviour. So it's not that pedestrians or motorcyclists or cyclists in general are not wearing high-vis or that they're not behaving correctly. But when they don't engage, like when any of us don't behave in really good road behaviour, the risk is exponentially higher. And the consequences are very serious.
But sorry, to not to reject your phraseology, but if you know that 9 out of 10 of the pedestrians who are killed at night are killed in dark clothing, not wearing high-vis vests, how do you fix that problem?
Well, you continue to offer high-vis as a free piece of kit that is really important and can be life-saving. You try to encourage people and to help them to understand why high visibility is so important. One of the things we've been talking about in the course of the last 6 months is a piece of research from the ETSC, and they have said if you are walking in the dark and you have no high vis on, you can be seen at 30 metres. If you're walking a high visibility on, you can be seen at 150 metres distance. It's about getting those key messages out there so that somebody understands that it isn't about the RSA waggling a finger or wanting you to wear something uncool. It's literally about a piece of kit that can be life-saving and that can change your life. You pop the high vis vest into the pocket of your jacket, you bring it with you, you have the armband, people have the Sam Brown belts if they're cycling, and if everybody is undertaking those, then we can minimise the risk.
What about alcohol with pedestrians?
I think alcohol plays a role for all road users across the board. Pedestrians, cyclists, motorcyclists, e-scooterists, which we're going to see coming up, and drivers. It is an impairment drug. It means it slows down people's responses. It makes people overconfident, either about their road use or about their driving. People inherently believe they are less drunk than they are and that they are a better driver than they are.
But if you go to what the minister was saying about the drivers, there is the prospect, if the Garda recruitment happens towards the end of the year, that maybe by next year we may have more checkpoints and that may impact on drunk drivers. Drunk pedestrians are legally allowed to be drunk pedestrians, but they're a huge contributor to road deaths. So how do you deal with that?
I think alcohol is a huge contributor to road deaths, not pedestrians. And I don't think it's fair to pick on individuals like that. I don't think that's a fair approach. I think what we have to do is have
a
big conversation about alcohol.
If what we know is that half of the pedestrians are killed have been drinking, then we know that that is undoubtedly a contributory factor to the mistakes that cause them to step into traffic or lie in the road. Therefore, we need to do something about it, whether or not it is fair to accurately describe what is happening.
And we do. And we do. Like, you can see in the press releases that we issue, we do focus on motorists because the person who is driving at speed in a vehicle that can hurt others, they if they take most care, that can have the greatest impact on the numbers across the board. But we also ask people to get a taxi home, to be safe in how they get home. And as pedestrians, we ask them to wear high vis, we ask them to take care, we ask them to put down their mobile phone. The recent mobile phone ad that we ran, which accompanied our TV ad, had a photo of a mobile phone and was shattered and said, would it hurt you to put it away? It did not say anything about drivers. That was really deliberate. It was for us as road users, in whatever way, shape or form, whether we're cycling, whether we're walking, whether we're driving, that we all recognise that momentary distraction in terms of looking left, looking right, crossing the road and driving can be life altering.
To that point that Sarah is making, and I should say Sarah Connor, Partnerships and External Affairs Director with the Road Safety Authority, and Jack Chambers, Minister of State at the Department of Transport, with me. To that point in relation to alcohol generally being a big problem, how does or does the government have a plan for how to deal with that? Because if you look at all road user varieties, whether it is pedestrians, whether it is drivers, whether it is passengers, and you say, what do we see as a consistent theme? Alcohol is a huge issue.
Yeah, and that's why we've, with the Road Safety Authority, there's very extensive campaigns, educational engagement, specifically around alcohol and drug driving. And a lot of the campaigns that Sarah and the team roll out is very focused on specifically around substance misuse. And then there's a wider engagement with the Department of Health and others on the dangers of alcohol more generally, and that's something the government supports, and you know, in terms of, you know, support through the Department of Health. But I think it is about education awareness, and there's a significant body of work happening with the Road Safety Authority and Garda Síochána and the Department of Education, for example, on expanding our remit with second level education and the dangers of substance misuse and alcohol or drug driving, for example.
And does that work?
Oh, education absolutely works, and that's why we need to ensure we meet from a road safety perspective.
But do people actually say, I was going to take cocaine and get behind the wheel, but I won't because of a thing I saw in transition year?
Well, it's all about education. Absolutely plays a role, and that's why it's about changing attitudes and behaviour, and that's why it takes time to do that as well. In terms of, you know, the wider cultural piece and the serious trend we've seen on drug driving and what the Gardaí have flagged, what the Medical Bureau of Road Safety have flagged, we have seen in our society more generally the normalisation of drugs and how that has persisted and continued. And unfortunately, when we discuss drug policy more generally in radio studios and on TV studios, it's all very academic around, you know, legalization or specific, and I support a health-led approach where we support people that are have an addiction. But at the same time, there's very limited discussion on the consequences of someone having a joint or, you know, taking a line of cocaine in the context of road safety. And it has a very serious impact on their ability to conduct behavior normally, whether that's whether walking around the street or behind the wheel.
Let me
add, just to that point, you're asking there about, and you're being a little bit disparaging, right, about the idea of somebody doing something in transition and it can influence them in later life. All of the research that we do says that continuous lifelong education, you cannot pinpoint that it prevents a collision 10 years later. But what has been proven internationally is that when you invest in lifelong continuous education and when people from a very early age learn about road safety, it means that they are more primed to receive road safety messages later in life. So, for example, they'll have done something in transition year, they'll have had something at creche, they'll have something in colleges as they're kind of going through. They
see an ad this week
and that they absorb that. And it, because you have laid the foundations for them to care and for it to make sense, they are more inclined to say, okay, I'm going to have a think about that. That's definitely going to influence my behaviour.
Are you sanguine about the prospect of the numbers coming back down anytime soon?
We're not satisfied. We're not complacent.
But do you think you are looking at all of the measures that are being made and the totality of the actions of the RSA and others. Do you think you are getting on top of it?
I think the last 2.5 years and the first quarter of this year to date show that we're not getting on top of it, that we have to all collectively redouble our efforts. That exists with the kind of structures that the minister is talking about, with the Road Safety Transformation Board at ministerial level, at CEO level, across the 18 partners who play a role. But it also exists with all of us every single day in the hundreds of transport related decisions we make.
Sarah, thank you very much. Sarah O'Connor, Partnerships and External Affairs Director with the Road Safety Authority, and before her, Jack Chambers, Minister of State at the Department of Transport.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.